Praise God. Let's start out with a word of prayer. Father, we give you the glory for today, Lord. How beautiful it is to come together with a church family, Father. We're here to worship you. We're here to give you all the praise and glory and honor, Lord. And most definitely, we want to feel your presence in this place today, Father. We will want nothing else but to please you in our worship, in the message, in our prayers, in our lifting one another up, in our being a church family as we want to do everything we can to get everyone that walks through this door connected to you, because you are the author of our faith. Your word says you are the author and finisher of our faith, Lord. Your word says for the joy that was set before you, you despised the shame, and we talked about shame this morning, and you gave it all for us, Father. You died on the cross. You sent your son to die on the cross for a payment of our sins, and we have grace. We have new life. We're a new creation, Father. So help us to grow closer to you on this day. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. For years, I've been trying to understand more about giving. Giving is a big thing. A lot of people don't like to talk about it. I remember Keith standing up here and says, no one wants to talk about giving or sex from the pulpit. I'm not going to talk about sex today, but I am going to talk about giving. I've wrestled with the issue. I've talked to people about it. I've debated about it. I've lost sleep over it. And then yesterday at the breakfast table, when Kathy was hooking me up with my cereal, I brought me to Chicago number 7. The word says, I've been searching so long to find an answer. Now I know my life has meaning. Oh, and giving has done that for me. When I started digging into God's word, as I do with practically every subject that comes up in this world, I go to the word about the things in the world, and the word will give you a perspective, a God's perspective, of what it means to look like to give. I hope through these next few weeks, because I'm going to be talking about it for about 4 weeks, I hope that you'll learn new things about God. I hope that you look deeply inside yourself, because really that's what Christianity is all about, right? It's about examining ourselves and lining ourselves up with the Word and do everything we can to grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. That's what we do. But I hope you look deeply into yourself, where you will be reminded of the power, and I love that word, power, of the Father's love and the power of your gifts. They're very important. Because we're living in a world right now where there's all kinds of different messages spelling out the rules of what giving should look like. And wouldn't it be great if we could all like finally get some clarity on the subject of giving, peace about about giving. And I'll make you a promise. When you start to see giving from God's perspective, the lights are going to come on in your heart. You'll see that you can really feel good about your gifts. I believe the Bible holds the secret to giving, the secret of getting our minds and our hearts on the same page. And isn't that what we're looking for? My first main point is, please know. Please know I'm not a professional fundraiser. I remember several years ago when Pastor Dick was here, he introduced me to the pastor at Battlefield Baptist, who's not the pastor there now. The pastor there now is a great guy. I've met him. He loves the Lord. But when the pastor came through here, Pastor Dick introduced me, and he had to go down to his office, and I started talking to the guy, and I asked him who his favorite teachers were. And he looked at me and said, to tell you the truth, I'm a fundraiser. And that kind of blew me off. I mean, I kind of just stepped back. I didn't really know how to respond after that. But I'm not a professional fundraiser. And these messages that I'm going to give the next few weeks is not about pressure. It's not about guilt. I hope these messages will be about the power of your gifts and the way we give and who we give to. They're so important. And I feel like, you know, God's Word and the Holy Spirit are going to open our eyes to that way. I think when you realize how important giving is, you'll experience, well, come what I felt in my life, enormous freedom. Freedom. You'll feel the weight of uncertainty being lifted. I put in your listening, God, from your shoulders, and you'll be challenged by what you learn about your gifts and your giving to your church family. Because I think some of the ways we've been encouraged to give are weak a lot of times. But there's some ways that we've convinced ourselves not to give can be questionable. Now, growing up, I remember I grew up in the Catholic Church. Nothing against the Catholic Church. But us three boys were Greenbelt, Maryland, Holy Redeemer Church, you know, and they would give the offering each week, and they would give these long baskets would come down the row. You just had it up there, Jason. These long baskets would go down the row, and, you know, they'd have one from each side so they could fit in, and my father would give myself and my two brothers, you know, a quarter or two quarters to put in there. So 50 cents we'd usually put in there. And I think to myself, that's in the 60s. That was in the early 60s, shows you how old I am. So 50 cents then would be like a $40 or $50 check today, am I right or not? I remember one Saturday when I was 11 or 12, we were living on Ammondale Road in Beltsville, and there was a knock at the door, and I opened the door, and there's a priest standing there. And I said, "Father, how you doing?" You know, he asked me my name. So I went and got my dad, and I said, "Dad, there's a priest at the door." And my dad went to the door, and within, I'd say, 2 minutes, my father sent him out. My father closed the door on him. He said, "I don't want you coming to this house." And I'm crying. I'm crying in my 11, 12-year-old self. And I said, "Dad, why did you send the priest away? All he wants is your money." And that was it. You know, go down and get me another beer. Praise God. I love my dad. I love my dad. Seriously. But that was my introduction to giving at a church when I was a kid. When I was 29 and Kathy was 27, she's so much younger than me. When we surrendered our lives to Christ back in 1981, that's the first time we heard about giving. And it was at the Worship Center, Assembly of God Church, where we attended for 7 years before we went to Christian Fellowship Church. And I recall hearing, and I put this in your listening, God, I recall hearing that we should spend less than we earn, avoid debt, and give 10% to the church. And all I can say right now is, I'm done. Thanks for coming today, man. I really appreciate you listening to that. Because I really believe that. I really think we should spend less than we earn. Praise God, there wasn't credit cards when I was a kid. That we should avoid debt and give 10% to the church. But then I ask myself the question, but is there more to pleasing God than my money, than having a budget and a clean tithing record? Is there more than that? And this question really sparked a hunger in me to understand how God views giving and how my giving could actually get his attention. I never thought about it that way. Because we've all heard statistics, we've all heard sermons and statistics about the meager rate of giving, even among churchgoers. And yes, greed and materialism are real forces in our lives. And when I study about greed is that undetected sin. It's hard to pull out of us. It's hard to realize, am I really greedy? It's hard. Materialism is hard because we live in the greatest nation in the world and we have so much stuff. And you read statistics where, you know, 1 billion people in the world live on less than $1 a day and another 1 billion of people live on less than $2 a day. I can't even imagine that. I don't even know what I can get for $2. Well, I guess if we go to the dollar store, we could get something, but praise God. So there's so many mixed messages that all of us had heard on the subject, and they can be frustrating at times. The appeals, the demands, the answers will continue to bombard us, but there's got to be a better way to understand giving. And the title of the series that I'm doing today is called Giving That Delights the Heart of the Father, and you'll see him hanging around the church. I love to get, you know, a series prepared, and I thought to myself, I really wanted to titles a series, I Want All the Blessings, But My Money's Mine. But I thought that was a little bit too forward. You know what I'm saying? So I did it that way. Today's message is called The Aha Moment. And I've seen a lot of mouth watering by looking at the front of this cover today. And it really came from a book. Most of the points in this message came from a book that was really given to me by a friend of mine. You might have heard of him. His name's Keith McIntyre. He gave me this book like 6 years ago when I started reading it. It was incredible. And this, Jeff Anderson, he's the author of this book. And this was his aha moment. He wrote in the book, I was working on my laptop one day, and my little 4-year-old girl was playing in her kitchen playset and brought me a plastic donut and handed it to me. That was his aha moment. He said, I didn't see it coming, but at that moment it occurred to me, this is how our giving must feel from God's perspective. Our gifts to him are like plastic donuts. God does not need our money or our gifts. But he said, but like a child's gift that moves her father, our gifts can really get God's attention. For his daughter, he said, the feedback from our interaction inspired her to continue to give me more things from her playset. If I didn't pay attention to her or had withheld my delight, she would have stopped giving. She was learning about the power of a pleasing gift and learning about connecting with me as her father. Meanwhile, Jeff Anderson said, I was learning about God and how to better connect with him as my father. For years, he said, I thought about my receivers of my gifts, my church, my neighbor, my chosen charities, and I had studied the benefits that come to me as a giver. But I hadn't given much thought about my gift from God's viewpoint. How does he view what I give? He said, could it be that God desires a similar plastic donut experience when I give to him? And what about the thrill that his daughter received when she saw the joy that her dad's face when she gave him that plastic donut? And then he thought to himself, have I been missing opportunities to connect with God in a deeper way? Suddenly he could understand different from giving from a different perspective. And then next point, questions. Yes, we all got questions about giving. We like to give and we like to receive gifts. We have a desire to honor God and would like to understand what God's word says about giving. The problem is our noisy culture keeps providing more answers to our questions that fail to clear up the confusion. I want to know the truth about giving. That's why I go to the Word. I want some clarity and confidence in what I believe and how I live and what I feel about giving. Don't you want to know that? And a sampling of some of the questions that I hope to answer through the next few weeks is, what's the right amount to give? Does the tithe still apply in this modern era of people? Is the first 10% required and everything else a free will offering? What should be our motivation to giving? Does it matter what I give as long as I have a good heart? And I looked at it this way, and he gave this scenario in the book, and it's so true. Have you ever played a new board game when you were still unclear about the rules? It's awkward. You don't know whether you're making the right moves or not, and that's how giving feels to so many people. There has to be some kind of clarity in God's word that brings us to a better feeling about giving, a feeling like the deep connection when Jeff Anderson felt when his little daughter gave him that plastic donut. And then I thought about the question, would God really leave us to our own devices to figure this thing out? And then I thought, there's so many voices. There are way too many voices on the subject of giving. I read a story about a young man who had really gotten away from church for a while, and then he spent many years apart from God, but then he visits this large church in the city. And in a message on giving, the pastor rejects the concept of tithing. He says it really doesn't apply today, just like animal sacrifices and other areas of the Old Testament law. Instead, the pastor refers to something called grace giving. And the young man appreciates learning something new, and the teaching makes sense to him. Then a few weeks later, he visits another church in the same city, and the pastor's there starting a series on tithing. He has reached a part where he's asking in the message for tithing commitments, and this seems to make sense to him, but it contradicts the teaching from the pastor he heard a couple weeks ago at the other church in the city. So the young man leaves the church that day wondering, does what the Bible really, what does it say about giving? And I'm thinking to myself, as through the years, because I've sat under a number of pastors, some leaders use the New Testament teachings to prove Old Testament no longer applies. Other find verses in the New Testament to say they prove certain Old Testament passage rules still apply. Some teachers encourage giving based on prosperity that will follow. A few pastors came into my mind when I said that. Others caution against robbing God to avoid the curses they say shall follow. And some teachers combine the two views as one, and while still others reject it all. And I really don't think that pastors like myself and Bible teachers are the only ones struggling to land on a unified, authoritative approach. And that's why I felt led to share these series of messages, because those who come with questions often tend to have answers as well. I imagine that a senior adult community group class would have strong opinions on how young people should give. Meanwhile, I think young folks have their own ideas about what giving should look like for them. We got blogs, we got chat rooms, we have all kinds of things. We have armchair quarterbacks breaking down Sunday's game. Plenty of commentators weighing in on the matters of where and why and how we should give. And I imagine in the midst of all that you've heard through the years, you've probably heard some troubling things. There are enough financial scandals on record that cast doubt on church and ministry giving. And I think calling those people out is fine. We should be responsible for what we give and what we do with the money God blesses with. And I really think that I'm here today as a church leader that we're seeking answers to questions about giving just like the rest of us. And it's my job, it's their job to be as clear as they can on the very dicey subject as giving. And it would be wrong for us to use the misdeeds or the manipulative tactics of a very few as an excuse to ignore our own unresolved questions about giving. Remember, we all need personal clarity from the scriptures when a question arises, any question. And I also believe not teaching about giving can be a problem too. And I've really have stepped back from a few years talking about giving and just giving it to the Lord and just being faithful in Kathy and my own giving. But sometimes I think the lack of talk about giving can be a problem. Put yourself in my shoes. Can you imagine standing in the pulpit right up here and bringing the subject up of money? The best intended leader would struggle with the challenge of teaching on this topic without appearing to have some kind of conflict of interest. And as members of our congregation, I would think that you would expect the lights to work when you come here every week. You expect the place to be clean. You expect your pastor to have a decent jacket on. Praise God. Just imagine wrestling with additional needs for maybe new roofs like we had, or more staff, or at the same time faithfully supporting the missions that we've been doing and figuring how's this supposed to be about. And it's almost like I've been wanting to apologize to you probably for 3 or 4 weeks when I came here and told you that the school was leaving. I felt like I gave an impression that this place is going to fall down, and that was so far from the truth. Because this place has been standing upon the name of the Christ from the day it opened here in 2003. No matter how many schools have been here and left, God is going to take care of this place. And we have to trust in Him and realize and know, yeah, we're going to have to redo our budget and think different. But it's kind of cool redoing a budget. How many people love to do budgets? I'm into budgets. I love doing budgets. I want to set a priority and show God that we want to be faithful with everything we do. At the end of the month here, last Sunday in October, we'll show you everything that has happened here, every penny that has come in from January 1st till the end of September. You know, we'll get that ready. We're going to work on a budget so we can coincide with what we think is going to come in here. But I'm praying that God is going to work miracles in us. God is going to show us what giving does, the freedom that comes from giving. I'm telling you, I've probably married at least 30-some couples in my life right now, being a pastor, and I love it. And I love being at a wedding and looking at a couple when they're looking at each other and the girl's all excited and, you know, the guy, he's thinking about what's the score for Ohio State yesterday or something like that. You know, they're all on a different page. But it's beautiful. I did that for you, Caleb. But it's beautiful. It's beautiful. And I want to look at him and say, you want to have a successful marriage? Put God in your life. Love him with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. And then figure out as a man how to love your wife like Christ loved the church. Still trying to figure that out. But it's a powerful way to love, I'll tell you that. And for a woman to support and encourage her husband. And then the next thing I talk about is wedding giving. Give with a cheerful heart. And God is going to bless you. And I could sit down. And maybe the next few weeks, if you have a testimony about giving and you want to share it, what God has done for you from an act of giving, let me know. I'll have you come up here because it's always good to hear testimonies from people. Just imagine wrestling with the initial needs, additional needs for our facilities and budget and all. But I really feel like churches and faith-based charities have a God-given passion for their particular causes. And some of the causes that we are passionate about here, we're passionate about life. We're pro-life. We want to help care in that. We're anti-international, slavery and stuff that's going on around here. We're passionate about that as a church. We want to give to those Nova HTI and the IJM. Because it's important to us. But I feel like the disconnect we're feeling about giving could be caused by a lack of clear biblical perspective on the topic. How many years, and then I talk about how many centuries have we been wondering about these things, wondering about giving? And my prayer is that this series of messages will be an opportunity for all of us to get on the same page and pray for our eyes to be open. Couple more points. Lord, teach us about giving. Let's face it, giving matters. As I said, all churches and faith-based organizations, giving matters. And I've experienced personally while serving on various finance committees at the other church here and on the elder board of this church. And while Christians have debated these issues and reached a number of different conclusions, I'm convinced that this plastic donut story that I shared in the beginning of this message is a metaphor for giving that cuts through the noise and offers clarity. It captures an approach to giving that discards pat answers while uncovering truths that can be trusted and helpful for everyone. And even better, I really think when your questions about giving can be answered with confidence, your connection with your Heavenly Father will grow stronger. Lord, open our eyes to what giving should look like. Pray along with me the next few weeks about this. As a manager in a retail store for 14 and a half years, to be able to open anything I wanted to listen to every time I was at work was cool. But I counted a lot of money in those 14 and a half years. I did a lot of deposit at Musicland and Sam Goody. I needed to know the price of everything. And when I became a Christian, I especially wanted to know the price of this spiritual practice called giving. I had questions like, how much should I give? Is there any biblical giving standard? And Jeff Anderson, he said, when she gave me that plastic donut, my views on giving changed. He said, I saw more clearly why the joy of giving can seem so mysterious, because it is. It's hard to experience without looking up at the Father. Jeff Anderson shared, often instead of looking up with my gift, I was looking down. Instead of pondering God's reaction to my giving, I was occupied with my own feelings on the subject. Instead of giving to the one unseen, I was giving to the one I can see. And a donut experience hopefully will give you a fresh perspective that connected with the study of Scripture, that this thing about giving is going to start to make sense to you. And my last thing I wanted to share today is, let's reach for the reset button. Let's start from the beginning. Next week, I'm going to be in Genesis to talk about it. Let's see how our feelings about giving can shift from guilt and confusion to being a foundational part of our deeper connection to God, our Father. We want our gifts to matter to God. I'm sure everybody would raise their hand on that. We even might dare to believe that our gifts can bring a smile to the Father. Think about that. So let's all step out from the crowd and away from all the noise and all the things you thought you heard or heard about. And let's think against the grain with some prevailing approaches. Let's reach for the best reset button and discover new answers for our questions. How does God respond to our gifts? How does God really care about what I give? Does He like some gifts and dislike others? That's a heavy question. Does He like some gifts and dislike others? I'm praying that you come with an open mind, if the band wants to come forward and the ushers, with an open mind and an open heart as we talk about giving the next few weeks. It's going to be incredible. I'm excited about it. Next week, what's acceptable? The week after that, does the amount matter? The week after that, up close and personal. November 10th, 2% perspective. November 17th, all the difference. I'm excited about it. Father, I just want to give you the glory for today, Lord. Thank you for the opportunity. Can I stop praying for a second? Because I did something today that I've never done in my life. Since 1989, when I started talking to a few junior hires in a trailer. Now, I've been a lot of places preaching, and I've never done a message without giving a verse. I did not give a verse today. I don't know if anybody caught that or not, but I have 50 ready for next week. I'm just teasing you. Father, we give you the glory for today, Lord. Father, I ask you to bless our offering. Father, I pray as we get into this series and realize that our giving delights the heart of our Father and learn what that means and what that looks like, Father. Father, I pray for the rest of this service, Lord, as we open this altar up for people who want to pray, as we give an offering for those who want to give, Father, and as we vote on our Constitution today, Father, we want to get all this done by 12 o'clock. So, Father, I give you the glory, Father, in Jesus' name, amen. Shouldn't have given the time. Praise God.
Waiting for the sunrise, waiting for the day, waiting for a sign that I'm where you want me to be. I know my heart is heavy and the hurt is deep. When I feel like giving up, you're reminding me that we all fall down sometimes. with your love. I don't know.